With SDPB News, I'm John Wynn. State lawmakers are prepping to redraw legislative district boundaries. The Redistricting Commission will meet monthly until census data comes from the federal government. Officials anticipate that data will arrive on September 30th. Once the data arrives, they will start working on drawing the state's 35 legislative district lines. Representative Mike Derby sat on the Redistricting Commission in 2001. He foresees two challenges heading into this year's Redistricting Commission.
The late data from the census, and then also the rapid growth we've had in the major urban areas, and that's going to be our biggest challenges, I see.
Some lawmakers anticipate the greater Sioux Falls area down into Lincoln County will get another legislative seat. The commission will hold field hearings in mid-October across the state, including Rapid City, Mission, Mobridge, Aberdeen, Watertown, and Sioux Falls. Advocates for a voter-passed measure to legalize marijuana in South Dakota are condemning a taxpayer-funded lawsuit from Governor Kristi Noem opposing it. A firm currently bills the governor's office for legal services at a rate of $190 an hour for partners and $170 an hour for associates, according to a contract with the firm. The legal battle for the measure is set to enter its final round at the state Supreme Court.
Legislative coverage is brought to you by the South Dakota Bar Foundation, SDN Communications, Missouri River Energy Services, Touchmark Retirement Communities, the Boyce Law Firm, and the Friends of SDPB.
The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development has awarded more than $11.5 million to South Dakota. $2 million goes to Sioux Falls and Rapid City, but most of the money will go to smaller communities. SDPB's David Ozzetti Scott has more.
The federal grants pay for economic development projects, affordable housing, and urban renewal. Michelle Schulke manages Rapid City's Community Development Block Grant Program. Schulke says agencies and organizations can apply for funds each fall. They'll use this year's in a variety of ways.
We'll be funding a public service program that assists clients in obtaining free pharmaceutical medications. We're also funding a rent and mortgage assistance program. We will be working at a public facility to renovate two entrances for accessibility modifications. And then lastly, we'll be using some funds for actually a kitchen exhaust fan for youth and family services.
Schulke says the city will also set funds aside for housing projects that come up over the next year. Shelly Unruh is the housing manager for Sioux Falls. She says affordable housing is an issue for most growing communities.
Much like the rest of the nation, it's affordable housing is an issue, and as we continue to grow and add jobs, the need for affordable housing only increases for our area. So the strategy that we're taking is really looking at using the funding that we do have available to leverage that to create the deepest density that we can in housing.
Unruh says federal funds subsidize building projects to keep new homes affordable. She points to ongoing developments in the city where old buildings are coming down to make way for new housing. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm David Ozzetti Scott in Rapid City.
The Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals has overturned the rape conviction of a South Dakota man. At trial, the federal prosecutor brought in an expert witness to tell what characteristics a rape victim might display, but the judge would not allow the defense to allege that the victim's trauma might have come from an earlier rape. Victoria Wicks has more of the story for SDPB.
Xavier Zephyr was convicted of raping a sleeping woman who awoke to find him on top of her. At trial, Zephyr was found guilty of aggravated sexual assault. He appealed his conviction and is represented at oral arguments by Molly Quinn. She tells judges that the jury heard the experts say that rape victims might suffer from substance abuse, self-harm, and mental health problems. And then the jury heard the victim testify to having those same symptoms.
The alleged victim's testimony about her drug use, self-cutting, and mental health problems conclude, based on that matchup, that she had in fact been raped, and in the absence of any evidence of another perpetrator, determined that it was Zephyr who did it.
Quinn says Zephyr had reason to believe that the victim had been raped some years earlier, but he wasn't allowed to present that evidence and suggest that the victim's trauma came from that experience. Assistant U.S. Attorney Jennifer Mamanga tells judges that this case is not simply he says, she says. The government presented DNA evidence and two additional accusers. Mamanga also says the defense cross-examined the victim and her mother about their difficult home life and the abuse both of them had suffered in relationships.
The defense certainly wasn't limited to just this purely sanitized victim who had no other alternative reason for why she might have some of these PTSD-esque type symptoms.
In its opinion, the Eighth Circuit panel recognizes that the sexual history of rape victims is not allowed as evidence. But in this case, the existence of a prior sexual assault is relevant. With conflicting testimony and little physical evidence of trauma, the court says it's not absolute that the jury would have found Zephyr guilty if he'd been allowed to present a full defense. The panel remands the case for a new trial. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks.
That's your daily news update. Follow SDPB News on social and visit sdpb.org/news to keep up with our journalism as it comes in. Thank you for listening.